Welcome. You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on Ayers Allais are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. There's something new on Ayers Allais every day. Hello, this is Roger Baker, and every Monday we bring you the latest news from the world of science and technology. The following two articles are from the online website SciTech Daily. Our first article, Scientists Create Living Plastic That Self-Destructs in Just 6 Days, submitted by the American Chemical Society. Many plastic items are made for one-time use, but the materials can remain in the environment for years. Researchers are exploring a different approach, living plastics, materials built with microbes that can be activated to break down the polymer when needed. In a study published in ACS Applied Polymer Materials, a team used two cooperating bacterial strains to fully degrade the plastic in only 6 days without producing microplastics. Plastics could self-destruct. Zhu Zhande, a corresponding author on the paper, explains that the realization that traditional plastics persist for centuries, while many applications, like packaging, are short-lived, led us to ask, could we build degradation directly into the material's life cycle? Some microbes make enzymes that can cut long polymer chains into smaller fragments. Since plastics are polymers, researchers can potentially place those enzymes, or the microbes that produce them, directly into living plastic materials. By embedding these microbes, plastics could effectively come alive and self-destruct on command, turning durability from a problem into a programmable feature, explains Day. Two enzymes finished the job. Earlier efforts mostly depended on one enzyme, but Day, Jing Zhen, Dai-Ping Ki, and colleagues aimed to make the breakdown process more efficient. They engineered Bacillus subtilis to produce two polymer-degrading enzymes that work in sequence. One enzyme cuts long polymer chains into smaller pieces at random points, while the second breaks those smaller pieces down from the ends into their monomer building blocks. The researchers combined dormant B. subtilis spores with polycaprolactone, a polymer common in 3D printing and some surgical sutures, allowing the microbes to remain protected until activation. The living plastic that resulted had mechanical properties close to ordinary polycaprolactone films. When the researchers added a nutrient heated to 122 degrees Fahrenheit or 50 degrees Celsius, the spores became active and degraded the plastics completely into its basic building blocks within 6 days. Because the two enzymes worked together so effectively, the process avoided generating microplastic particles during breakdown. Early devices also broke down. As an early demonstration, the team made a wearable plastic electrode from the living plastic. The device worked as expected and then fully degraded within 2 weeks. Next, the researchers want to create a way to activate the spores in water, where much plastic pollution eventually accumulates. Although the work centered on one polymer, the same general strategy could potentially be adapted for other plastics, including materials often used in single-use products. Next, Stanford's revolutionary new microscope reveals living cells in stunning detail. Written by Sarah Zaski from Stanford University. The view into living cells just got better. Stanford researchers have merged two microscopy methods to build a unique instrument that can capture cell structures interacting in real time at an unprecedented resolution of 120 nanometers. It is the highest resolution yet achieved without fluorescent labels. The technology, known as interferometric image scanning microscopy, or IISM, gives scientists a way to watch cellular structures in their broader environment, including how they react to invaders such as pathogens or to drugs. The advance is described in the journal Light, Science and Applications. This new microscope provides a fantastic view into the cell, where you can see the tiny structures and machines in the cell moving, changing, and interacting without having to add fluorescence to observe them, said senior author W.E. Moerner, the Harry S. Mosher Professor of Chemistry in Stanford School of Humanities and Sciences. It's a wonderful look into these complex little cellular boxes that drive our life. The abilities of IISM could support new discoveries across many areas of the life sciences, including research on disease mechanisms, drug development, and interactions between plants and microbes. Although IISM does not reach the same resolution as some highly specialized microscopes, its label-free approach offers major benefits. Scientists can observe many cellular structures structures at the same time and follow them for longer periods. By comparison, fluorescence-based methods usually mark only a few selected structures at once. Fluorescent signals can also fade over time. In addition, the labels can be difficult to introduce and may sometimes alter the behavior of the structures being studied. The IISM also works with much lower illumination power than similar high-contrast label-free methods. That reduces the chance of light-related damage in living cells and makes it less likely that the imaging process will disturb the small, fragile structures under observation. First author Michelle Cuppers, a postdoctoral scholar in Warner's lab, said the new microscope is not meant to replace fluorescence microscopy, which has produced important insights in biology for decades. Every method has its advantages and disadvantages, and we believe in a complementary implementation in the future, Cuppers said. If we use the strengths of fluorescence for molecular specificity and the strength of IISM for label-free content and dynamics, we can really start tackling questions that have been difficult to address before. Many eyes on the same point. The IISM reaches higher resolution and sensitivity by combining the strengths of two microscopy approaches. That combination reflects the expertise of the two co-authors. Moerner, who received the 2014 Nobel Prize in Chemistry for his work on super-resolution fluorescence microscopy, recruited Cuppers to Stanford because her doctoral research focused on interferometric scattering microscopy. Scattering is the reason the sky appears blue. When light strikes small particles, as sunlight does when it passes through the atmosphere and encounters dust, water droplets, and other molecules, it changes direction and scatters. Particles in Earth's atmosphere scatter short blue wavelengths more strongly than red wavelengths, making the sky look blue to human eyes. In an interferometric scattering microscope, a laser shines on a cell and tiny structures inside the cell scatter some of that light. A second laser beam boosts the faint scattered light enough for detection, allowing small structures to be seen. The central advance in IISM comes from painting interferometric scattering with an adapted idea from next-generation confocal microscopes. Traditional confocal microscopes use a pinhole and a single detector to focus on target structures. More advanced versions use camera-based array detectors that capture many views of the same region. For IISM, the Stanford team used an array detector that collects more light than a pinhole and single detector system. This improves depth and precision. The concept is similar to how two human eyes gather information to separate foreground from background, except IISM uses tens to hundreds of views from an array detector rather than just two eyes. The researchers then created a method for combining those measurements into images with sharper detail and stronger contrast. The result is a label-free microscope that can achieve about 120 nanometer resolution while using less laser power and preserving imaging speed. That means scientists can observe living cells for longer periods and with a gentler approach. Wide vision for wide applications. Moerner and Cuppers are now working to improve the technology further and make it available to more scientists. They have already begun three collaborations with other Stanford researchers. One project uses the microscope to watch interactions among plant cells, fungi, and bacteria in real time. Another uses IISM to observe how a cancer drug enters a cell. A third planned project will examine how red blood cells change shape when they encounter a malaria infection. This is not a niche technique, Cuppers said. It has broad applications, and we hope the life science community will be well served by it, leading to many new discoveries. If you want to learn more about Ayers LA and the types of programs we offer, follow us by clicking on any of the social media links at the top of our webpages. If you like what you see or hear, please click the like button. This podcast is for the sole use of our blind and print-impaired audience. Any unauthorized use is prohibited. We'll be back again next Monday with more news from the fascinating world of science and technology. I'm Roger Baker.